Good evening, everyone. It's Deacon Holmes here. Hopefully everyone is having a blessed day today. Got a couple more minutes here. We'll be getting started. We have a full lesson here tonight. We'll be covering John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Also like to say for you to continue to pray and uplift some of our members who have lost some family members in the last week or so. Continue to lift them in prayer, and where God is still in the blessing business, although they've lost their loved ones, like we all have, but everyone will grieve differently. So I see the 7 o'clock hour has come upon us. So let us open up in a word of prayer before we proceed. O most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you right now as humble as we know how, Lord God, thanking you for your grace, thanking you for your mercy. Thank you, O Lord God, for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord God, for your strength. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing us one more chance to study your word so that we may become closer to you, Lord God. Ask your Lord God to be with us as we go forth in this study here tonight. Bless us, Lord God, with understanding. Bless us with discernment. Bless us, Lord God, that we won't not only be hearers of your holy word, but we'll be doers of your holy word. For we know it's a lot of work that you have for us to do down here in this vineyard. Look over the sick and the afflicted amongst us. Bless the bereaved families as well. As you continue to look over our pastor, Lord God, and give him the strength along with his family. Ask you, Lord God, to be with us and stand by us until we're able to meet again. And for your blessings, in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. We're going to be talking about Jesus here, letting them know a little bit about his death. You see that Deacon McDaniel gave you a good lesson on last week when Jesus raised his good friend Lazarus from the dead. He raised his good friend Lazarus from the dead. Over there in Bethany. Our Lord is heading back, you know, to Bethany, and he's going to head back into Jerusalem as he gets ready to do what he came down to earth to do, which when he came down here to die for our sins so that we may have salvation. So that's what John chapter 12 is going to talk about in its entirety here. He's going to detail how Jesus and he had a couple of disciples that were with him at this time. You know, he had old Judas with him, Iscariot, the one that he was going to betray him in the end. So we have a little noise here, so someone just mute their line and make it better for everyone. But at any rate, he's returning to Bethany for the Passover. He's going to like 6 days prior. He's going to get there. He's going to meet with this friend of his, Lazarus, who he had rose from the dead after 4 days of death. So they had to make sure that he was dead. And we'll see why as we proceed a little bit further in this lesson here today. But he's going to meet with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And they're going to have dinner. Now, at this point in time, as they're having this dinner or supper, as some people will call it, Mary is very happy to see Jesus. For one reason, he had raised Lazarus from the dead. So they were glad that Lazarus was back with them, and he's there eating dinner along with Mary, Martha, and Jesus. Now, to show her love for Jesus and to show that she was very giving, she anointed Jesus' feet with some very expensive oil, and she wiped them with her hair. And then the disciple that was with him, old Judas, you know, he had said, talking about, why are you using this expensive oil to wipe his feet when you could have sold that oil and probably could have gotten about $300, I guess, in our time, $300 for that, and we could have gotten that, taken that money and could have given it to the poor. Now, that wasn't the real intent, as we see later on. It wasn't really intent, because Judas was like the money holder there, so he's going to get that money, and he's going to use that money for other reasons other than giving it to the poor. Now, Jesus came in there and said, you know, the poor is going to be with you always. But Jesus said, but I'm only going to be with you for a little while. And as he continued along that way, he rode on in to Jerusalem. And they knew he was going to be coming to Jerusalem, because one reason why they knew that, you know, the word spread. And so they would have been happy to see Jesus. But what they really wanted to see, they wanted to see Lazarus, because he had been risen from the dead. And the people always want to see proof of things. So if you continue on through there, and we'll get a little bit more in here when God is going to become glorified. I mean, he's going to be lifted up. He's going to be praised by his Father. He's going to be, more of a proof that he is the Messiah that they had been looking for. He is that King of Kings that's supposed to have been coming. So they'll notice that because of a lot of things that he had done along the way, different miracles he has performed. But the main one, I was at the climax of it all, when he raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days, which was like a preview of his own death that he had also foreplanned and is going to live through as well as we go through this. So what we're going to do, we're going to walk a little bit. That's just a little summation of what we got going on here. But we're going to walk a little bit through this word. Okay? So I've covered here who we're talking about, which is Jesus, Lazarus, Mary, Martha, and a couple of his disciples. They had the dinner, and it was 6 days before the Passover. Not the original Passover when he was just, it was killing the young people. This was a praise Passover, and it was in Bethany, and it's all in honor of Jesus. Now, as we see here, where it is stating, starting here in verse 1, and it says 6 days before the Passover. I'm not going to read all of it. It's a lengthy scripture here, because a lot of I've kind of given you in the beginning. But 6 days before the Passover, Jesus had went to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, a man Jesus had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them and sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put in it. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Again, Jesus is saying the poor is going to be with us always. We hear that a lot. The poor is going to be with us always. Problems, we're going to have those always. So regardless of what's going on in our life, on the negative end, they're going to be there always. But Jesus is saying that he's not going to always be here. And he was telling them he wasn't always going to be there with them. They had an opportunity to see Jesus. He was foretelling them of his death. He wasn't always going to be there with him. He's always going to be with us. If we're in the spirit right now. We have the comforter here. But he's letting them know, I'm passing through here. Here's your opportunity to believe in me before I get glorified and leave here, because his time was short. And the disciples, he had been telling that to them along the way, but still, through that long time, still his disciples didn't quite understand, I guess, some of the parables and some of the teachings that God was doing. They weren't ready, mainly because it wasn't what they wanted. A lot of times things is not packaged the way we want it. It's not a bit as acceptable to us. Because all this talk about leaving and dying, you know, that didn't make sense to them. They were looking for this king, this Messiah. They were looking for him to be there with them so they can worship him, so they can be there to serve him for years upon end. It's like they were doing with the other kings that were around there. But Jesus letting them know that he came out here for a purpose. And that purpose he was telling them along the way, he didn't come down here to destroy anything. He didn't come down here to judge us, because that's going to happen at another time. Again, timing is everything. That's going to happen at another time. But Jesus came down here for another reason. So we want to let you know that. So what we're going to do at this point also, we're going to jump down here where they were plotting against Lazarus. Because you know they wanted Jesus. But if you see here in verse 9 through 11, they also, some of the leaders there, some of the spiritual leaders, some of those Pharisees, they wanted Lazarus dead as well. And they know Lazarus has been risen from the dead by Jesus. So a lot of people wanted to follow Jesus now because of the miracle that he had done for Lazarus. And so what these leaders were, these Pharisees, what they wanted to do, is kill Lazarus. And we can take away some of this power, some of this belief that these people have on this Jesus, and maybe that will fade away. And they're going to try to, because they, you know, they were already trying to get Jesus. They can get him later on. But they said, what they felt they had more control over, if we could just kill this Lazarus guy, get this proof out of the way, and then we can move on with other things. So that's what's happening here in verse 9 through 11. Now, there were other leaders that was there. They believed, some of those Jews, they believed in Jesus. Now, these were Jewish leaders, but they would not voice it around the Pharisees. You know, you're ashamed of God. Like a lot of us are today, we'd be ashamed of God around our friends, around our workmates, around our fellow neighbors or what have you. And the same way here. They wouldn't speak up for Jesus when they're around the Pharisees, because they would have interrupted their circle. They had access to certain opportunities. But if they showed their belief in Jesus, they would be cut off. And a lot of us today, we'd probably be cut off from certain benefits that we have of people who might have a little clout, people might have a little position in life. But if we're not living a life that they're living, a life that they would like to see us live, they're not going to be our friends anymore. But like on Facebook, they will unfriend you. That's the same thing that's kind of going on right here in the biblical time. That was before the Facebook, so they couldn't be unfriended. They would just be cut off. And so that's what the leaders were looking at as they were plotting against Lazarus. And we go a little bit further. We look in verses 12 through 19. We're going to look at how Jesus went into Jerusalem. If you look at verse 12 through 19, just read a little bit of that. You know, as he was heading, you know, to the feast, and the people that knew that Jesus was coming, they took branches of palm trees, and they went forth to meet him, and they cried, "Hosanna, Hosanna." We hear that a lot, but mostly hear that around Christmas. We hear this Hosanna, Hosanna, that we keep saying all the time. That's what they were shouting as well, because it's a form of rejoicing. Is what it is. They're rejoicing that Jesus is coming. They're glad to see Jesus. Because, you know, Jesus has some believers back there. And like I said earlier, some of them wouldn't say it publicly around certain individuals, but he had a lot of following, and it was basically because of the miracles that he had performed. You know, he had given them the blind, you know, gave them sight. He had the lame to walk. And then now he had risen someone from the dead who had been dead for 4 days. He was stinking, as they say, but he was more than that when he was in the grave. And so he had a following. So they were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, praise God," you know, to the highest is what they were doing at this time. And that's what we're talking about in verse 12 through 19. Now, we go down to number 16, and it says, these things understood not his disciples at first. But when Jesus was glorified, when he was confirmed, and he had done all those things for us, raising people from the dead, giving sight to the blind, allowing people who were lame to walk, Jesus was glorified. Then remember they that these things were written of him. Now they're reflecting back on the word. A lot of times we read that word and we don't understand it at first. We wonder why we don't understand the word when we're reading it. Later on in life, as you've grown, you matured, or you matriculate a little bit higher in God's word, a lot of those same scriptures that you used to read years ago, weeks ago, it could even be months ago, sometimes it could be days ago. Now all of a sudden you have a revelation because you're in a different place in Christ. It means something else because it's a step here. You just can't learn everything about God. You never will in this life, but you should draw closer to him. You should have a better understanding of his word, and it builds from level to level. And that's how his disciples were. They were building from level to level. The more they stayed with him along the way, they were building up their knowledge base. And as they saw these things happening, it started coming back to remembrance of them, the words that Jesus had said, some of the things that they had read about him. They started to understand that these things were to be done of Jesus. So don't get bored in reading God's word. Don't get bored if a preacher preaches over and over about a certain thing. Don't get bored if a teacher teaches over and over about a thing, because the word of God is not going to change. The word is going to remain the same. What's going to grow and what's going to change is your understanding. Your belief is going to get stronger. Your belief is going to build. That's where your concentration should be, not on reading the same things over and over again, but what are you getting out of it each time that you read God's word? Are you getting closer to God at that time? So we're going to look here again in verse 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. They're jealous now because all these people are following Jesus. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship him as well. Other people, not only the Jews, not only the Gentiles, others were believing in Jesus. Because if you're seeing the proof, you can't help but to believe. Now, whether you acknowledge it among certain individuals could be a little bit different. But if you start seeing certain things and hearing certain things over and over again, it tends to build your particular belief. Now, we're going to go to verse 20 through 26. Now, if you look in verse 20 through 26, we're going to pick out a couple of those. We're going to go down here to verse number 23. Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Very verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. That kind of brings me back in time. I always tell a person, you can count the number of seeds in an apple. You can count the number of seeds even on a watermelon. But I guarantee you, you can't count the number of watermelons that are in a watermelon seed. You can't count the number of apples that are in an apple seed. You have to die. You got to put away the sin that God tells you. You got to repent of your sin, turn away from your sin, okay? And then follow him and sin no more. That's what's going on here. Jesus died for us, for the sin that we have done, that has to shed away. That's what it's saying right here in this verse. When sin, you got to die from sin. You got to shed from sin. And you have to be rebirthed in the name of Jesus, under the Spirit. Kind of what the baptism does. You go down a sinner, you should come back up. you know, revived. You should come back up, saved. And we're going to get a little bit further into that as we go here in this cross, here with this word going to be about this cross. But we can't get away from that, because he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. So if you hate, you're not saying you hate your life, but you hate the kind of life that you're living, the sinful life that you're living. You got to hate that. You got to put that aside if you want to come on the Jesus side of things, because we're living a life of sin. We got to put that away and follow God. It's what he's saying here. So the life that we love, we're going to lose that life. We got to put that around. You can't carry both. You can't stay on both sides. You can't have sin and Jesus. It's not going to mix. It's like oil and water. It's not going to mix. Something's going to have to die there. Something has to be, you know, cut away. Something's going to have to be pruned. Something's going to have to be just killed, and that's what sin is. We got to get rid of the sin. Death will get rid of the sin. Now, and God is saying, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. You got to serve God. If you're going to follow him, you got to serve him. He don't just need, you know, this fan base coming out and just trying to just get something out of him. You better be willing to serve God. You got to praise God. You got to worship God. You got to be willing to do the things that God will do himself. And he said in number 27, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. So he's saying, he's going through some stuff right now. It's some things, people trying to kill him, and people saying crazy things about him. He could easily turn around and say, Father, I want to come back right now. Forget this dying stuff. Forget about this going on this cross. Bring me back to heaven right now. And the same thing applies to us. Times get hard sometimes when you're down here serving God, you're doing work, God's work down here in the vineyard. People are going to talk about you. People are going to backstab. People are not going to believe that you are saved. They're going to people say that you're still in that life that they knew you from years ago, especially people who grew up with you. So Jesus was having some of those same feelings here, but he explained it to the disciples here, letting them know that I can't stop now. That's not it. Yes, I'm going to have some trouble. I can't stop now. That's the reason why I came down here. And, you know, because they were trying to keep him from dying. But that's the reason I came down here to die. Because he is that sacrifice, that living sacrifice, that great sacrifice for us. But this cause came out to this hour. So the hour is coming. It's getting closer and closer to that time when God, time is going to be up. But now he's calling for his Father to glorify their name. And you'll see here in verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven. You hear that sometimes, a voice from heaven. Some people think it was thunder. Some people say it sounds like it was like an angel speaking to them. That's what they're hearing. And they hear the voice of Jesus showing his approval for his son. So Jesus getting more glorification here. Not only the glorification that he had from the miracles that he had performed, now the Father himself has shown approval and proven to the people that this is the Messiah that has been promised to them. Jesus answered and said here in verse 30, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake, to prove to you that I am who I say that I am. I am what other believers say that I am. It's not for me. So a lot of things we do as Christians, we just can't be doing them just for us. We got to think of other people. But look at this pandemic they're talking about, the wearing of the mask and things of that sort. When you're wearing the mask, and saying mainly that mask is protecting other people. So if you have concern for yourself, yes, it's going to give you some protection. But you just can't be thinking about yourself at all times. Okay, when you're going to be a servant in Jesus' vineyard, in God's vineyard, you got to forsake yourself. And you got to pick up Christ, the life of Christ. You got to think about others. You got love and serving others. We all are in this thing together. Jesus came down here. He didn't want to, you know, it wasn't God's will for us, any of us, to go to hell. It wasn't his will. But he gave all of us free will. It's a choice that we have to make if we want to come on God's side or we want to stay on the side that we get to earth, on the side of the prince of this world, which is the devil, instead of being on the king. You know, we want to be there with the prince. And so that's what it's saying here in that, in this particular verse. We want to jump now. And we go a little bit further here with this time I have left. Verse number 32. Well, we all been kind of waiting for this one. We've heard this a lot. Verse number 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Again, Jesus is foretelling the how he's going to die. He's foretelling it right here. If he be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. So what is meant by him being, what is this actually signifying here about this death that they need to grasp? The cross. Now, they nailed Jesus to this cross. And when they had to lift him up on that cross, they lifted him up from the earth. When he did that, what was he drawing from us? He said, going to draw all men. He drawing all of our concern, all of our sin, our grief, all of that for him to bear. It was placed on his shoulder, on his arm, all that weight of our sin were on the arms and shoulders of Jesus Christ. Only he could bear the sins that we have committed. Only God could do that. And he would draw all men unto him, realizing that we are thanking him for what he's doing for us. So he'll draw us to him just by that reason, knowing that someone's doing something of that magnitude for you to draw you closer to that person. A lot of people, like, he didn't even know them personally. A lot of times we're going to do things for people. We don't know them personally, but we're being loving to them. We're being caring to them. We're being Christ-like to them. That's what God is doing here. He's foretelling his death. So he didn't just only, this is a whole story here on how he came, how he's going to die, and when he's going to get up. Jesus foretold this whole thing. And you're going to jump down here a little further, number 35. Jesus then said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. But he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. You don't know what you're doing. God has said that on the cross this time. He said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sin will blind you. So you got sinners following sinners. It's just a blind, just following the blind, and the blind leading the blind. And you don't know where you are and where you're going to end up. That's what it's saying right here in this verse, when you should just follow the light. Because if you go to the light, whatever darkness that you have, it's not going to be comprehended. You know how they say about the darkness and the light. The darkness does not even understand or even comprehend the light. The light is just that awesome and that power. Jesus is the light. You can see clearly once you understand God's word and you become a believer and follower of him, you follow the light. Then you see where you're going. You can see when you're sinning. And you can realize and you feel guilty when you do a sin. And in that light, you will see that sin. You're going to see it. It's just going to, and you have to get rid of it unless you want to go back over into the darkness. That is a strong statement. So while ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light. So we be children of God while we have it. Jump on down here to verse 40. He had blinded their eyes. That's what's coming from Esaias, what he was saying about these people. The devil has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted. And now I should hear them. And what God is down here to do, you following Satan, he's messing with your understanding. He's messing with your vision. He's messing with your heart. You're hard-hearted. You don't have any concern for other people. And you got to go to God for him to soften your heart, for God to change your heart. But you got to accept him in. God can work on you once you accept him in. He's not going to force himself upon you. You got to want God. You got to accept God into your life. You got to accept God into your heart, and he will do some great things for you. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of synagogue. Talked about that earlier. They didn't want to be put out of the house. And so they kept their belief amongst themselves. They would not share it in the presence of the Pharisees, because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, that's verse right there, number 43. People love the praise of men more than they want the praise of God. Because the praise of men, they can see that right here. They got to wait, they feel, for the praise of God to get judged up there in heaven. Sometimes they don't realize the blessings that they have, which is the praise of God, the blessings that you get down here, the blessings of good health, probably the blessings of a good job, the blessings of a clear mind. You're not stressed out about stuff all the time. People don't look at those as praises of God. They don't look at those as blessings from God. But that's what it's all about. But they always want this from men. They want that pat on the back from men. And number 47, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I am not to judge the world, but to save the world. That's what Jesus came down here for, to save the world, not to judge it. Judgment is going to come. But he's going to leave a word down here. The word is going to judge you itself. We're here to help judge ourselves while we're here on this earth by reading God's word. That word will convict you. So God said, I didn't come down here to judge you. That's not my purpose. I came down here to save you. Again, foretelling his death. So timing is everything. So he that rejected me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Again, he's talking about God, God's word. When you get to that last day, that's when the judgment is going to happen. When you get up there on the judgment seat, when God will say, I made you, but I know you're not. Depart from me. That's when you're going to get into the real judgment. Then, down here, you're just going to be judging yourself, not judging others, but you judge yourself. Now, we're going to end here in verse 50. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak thereof, or therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So everything that he was saying, he got that from his Father. Those weren't Jesus' words he let them know. He always gave his Father the credit for all that he do. And that's what we should do down here as Christians. It should be in the name of Jesus that we're doing what we do. Because we got to go through Jesus to get to God. And to get to heaven, we got to go through him. That's what we say, in the name of Jesus. That's how it got to go through. He's the mediator. He's that in between us and God. And so we got to keep that in mind, that the words, he was letting them know, and we need to know, that we need to go through Jesus. Jesus is giving us God's word. That's what happens in this world. So I hope that you got something out of that, that God, Jesus, foretold his death. And if you don't know anything else, if you go here to verse 32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. He's heading to his end time. His work down here is almost done. And the next lesson's coming, because I don't want to get into those. But the time is getting near for him to get on that cross, to do what he had come down here to do. Jesus is a man of his word. And whatever he says, it comes from God. And it's for us to know, it's for us to understand, and it's for us to give credit, because God has been glorified, and we have to be glorified in him. So hopefully it's been a good word for you. continue to stay in your worship, and God be with you. Have a blessed day.